Welcome to the Cyber Snapshot podcast series. Today we're speaking with Rob Roy, who's the Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Federal Cybersecurity Team at HPE, about the latest cyber trends for government and much more. And Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Matt. Thank you.
Sure. Well, thanks for joining us, and let's kick it off, and let's start at a high level. Tell us about the current cybersecurity landscape in the federal arena. What's going on out there?
Oh, it's ugly. It's ugly, Matt. As you know, we are having some severe challenges, not just in federal. It's worldwide. But, you know, the current cybersecurity landscape is basically full of mountains. I don't think anybody would disagree. There's mountains of challenges, from growing adversarial sophistication and the numbers of adversaries out there to supporting outdated legacy systems in the government. We had one estimate recently from Capitol Hill that said that greater than 70% of the IT budget in the U.S. government right now is just going towards supporting legacy systems. So that's very difficult when organizations point to the fact that supporting cybersecurity and legacy systems is extremely difficult, if not impossible in some cases, because they just can't be retrofitted with cybersecurity. So while we have the largest number of cybersecurity professionals in the greater DC area, mostly focused on government, they're often hamstruck by the lack of a consistent cyber strategy, honestly, you know, insufficient budgets to do their job, and very significant workforce turnover. The challenge there is just that, you know, the government will hire cybersecurity professionals at entry-level jobs, and if they get 6 months to a year of experience, there's plenty of hiring managers around the D.C. area that need them to put them on other contracts. And so they offer them, you know, lucrative pay and benefits to take that expertise out of the government. So that's a huge challenge for the government right now.
Interesting. And this my next question, I think, kind of plays into this pretty well. But what do you think are the three biggest trends you are seeing in federal cybersecurity? I think we tackled off on a lot of the challenges, if you will, but what are the trends happening now?
Oh, the trends. I would say, you know, one of the greatest ones that I think a lot of organizations are seeing and sensing is that the data that they use on a day-to-day basis, whether it's data to run the business of government and to provide citizen services, to the cybersecurity data that's generated by logs and by people performing actions on systems and on networks and in applications, that data is, quite frankly, growing exponentially. And you can look at all the hardware manufacturers, self-storage. They're not having any lack of ability to sell their storage into the government. So data is growing exponentially. Now, that's just the data piece of it. Now, another trend is that what we're seeing is that the adversaries are starting to determine on their own the value of the data. That might seem kind of odd. What is the value of a piece of data, whether it's PII or medical data and so forth? You know, you've got credit card info that gets sold on the open market. That's monetary, right? Health records are worth roughly 10 times as much as a credit card record. But these are being, this worth is being set by the adversaries, by the attackers. The newest one that you'll notice came as a result of our recent elections in the United States, and that's the political value of data. So where data is stolen and it's essentially weaponized to influence decisions in our recent election, right? To skew the results, to paint one candidate in a bad light or so forth. That's the political cost and the political value of data. So you got data growing exponentially. You've got the value of data actually being determined by an attacker. They can figure out how to do something with it. And then, quite frankly, as we see in many of the GAO reports, the Government Accountability Office, that does audits of individual organizations, cybersecurity stance, and so forth, I would say, I'd just make a blanket statement that FedCyber is basically still in a blocking and tackling mode, doing some of the basics. And the DHS CDM, Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, is a great example. It's a terrific program. It's needed across government. It's got significant investment backing behind it. But what it's doing, in essence, is some of the basics that we've been trying to accomplish for the last 20 years. Patching systems, finding out what software and hardware we have out there, understanding their configurations and so forth. So it's pretty basic, but it's absolutely required. So I would call that's basic blocking and tackling and not doing more of the sophisticated things.
Interesting. Now, I understand you recently wrote a blog post about the top five priorities around federal cyber in 2017. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, yeah. I think, we've covered a little bit of it here. I had five key areas that I was looking at that I've considered as things that are I think the government is aware of, but that maybe should be brought into a priority list, if you will. The first of those was in the workforce. We just covered that. It's a huge challenge, and there are a number of strategies that very smart people are looking at to enhance the workforce or figure out other ways of adding to the workforce in creative ways. So I would say the second area is in public-private partnerships or in just basically outsourcing, figuring out ways for the government to work with the private sector to get the best and the brightest. The government has been going in this direction with the U.S. Digital Services, with 18F, and with Defense Digital Services, where they've brought in some really talented people from the private sector, from Google and Facebook and Microsoft and so on, that have helped big programs like healthcare.gov get out of the holes that they were in. So those types of actions, I think, work really well. We obviously need acquisition and IT modernization to that problem we discussed earlier of having a lot of outdated legacy systems. We need ways, and Congress is working on those now, to streamline acquisition, make it quicker, go for more innovative capabilities, and to bring the systems we can't protect up to date, find a way to fund those systems being brought into the modern age. So those are three of the key areas. Number four and five were in safeguarding data. We've had this data explosion, and we need to figure out how to make data unusable to those attackers and making it valueless. If we make the data valueless to them, they'll go somewhere else. And then, of course, the last one is in the Internet of Things. So securing the Internet of Things should be a top priority. I think government will need to be involved in this decision, because if there are no mandates or requirements around it, you will get the lowest bidder creating some widget that goes into people's homes or onto government networks that can then become a vector for attack, like the recent Mirai botnet, if you're familiar with that, where video security cameras with weaknesses were taken over, and since they have an operating system on them, they were then used to create a denial of service attack through literally hundreds of thousands of cameras around the world. So very, very important for us to secure the Internet of Things or the Internet of Everything.
That's great. Thanks for that rundown there, Rob. Now, I understand you recently attended the RSA conference. Any new learnings about cyber in the federal sector from that event?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that is just a fantastic show, as you probably know. It's the largest cybersecurity show, I believe, in the world right now. They broke all records this year in terms of exhibitors and attendees. I'm not writing a commercial for RSA in any way, but they put on a phenomenal show with lots of learning tracks, lots of exhibitors, and so forth. I think regarding the federal sector, there's a dedicated track there to the government, and there were many current and former executives. They made the track out there to RSA to discuss some of the initiatives and priorities that the government is in right now. One area I thought of interest was in the cybersecurity executive order, which is expected from the White House any day now. That's an executive order that the president can sign to give guidance to the rest of government how to what the priorities of the administration are going to be, what they want things funded for, and what those priorities should actually look like. And while it was light on specifics, they couldn't talk exactly what is in the executive order right now because it hasn't been released yet. There's a lot of talk that the order has received input from many sources, both inside and outside of government. That's been a concern from the cybersecurity sector that they would just write something, you know, in a bubble with just the government perspective. But we've been told that experts from outside of the government are participating in this process. And at one point, there was an indication that the government is, this was a quote, the government's in the business of data and citizen services, while the private sector are the cyber experts. To me, this means that an increasing reliance on the private sector to provide cybersecurity tools and services where the expertise remains. There was one other thing I thought it was very interesting. In an opening keynote, the term RSA stands for three people that were foundational to cryptography back in the 70s that invented a lot of the crypto that we use today. And one of the people that was on this panel was the founder, the creator of public key cryptography back in the 70s, a gentleman by the name of Whitfield Diffie. And Whit made a closing comment saying, you know, with cryptography unable to be broken today in literally thousands of years, quantum computing way out here in the future, he said, I think we're going at this all wrong, and the thing we need to focus on today is protecting our software and our systems. We need to write software securely so that we create systems that are secure by design. And I just thought that was phenomenal. He absolutely has it right.
Wow, fantastic. A lot of interesting insights there from the conference. Now, let's shift real quick. Tell us a little bit about HPE cybersecurity capabilities.
Oh, sure thing. HPE's cybersecurity portfolio falls into three primary areas. They are protect the software, protect the data, and protect the enterprise. Those are my three. So this is the way that I like to try and represent them. So on protect the software, a little known fact is that about 80% or more of breaches today are through software vulnerabilities. That is weak software that's been put into production, has a weakness, and it you know, is open to people poisoning a website, a malware attack, a phishing attack, and so forth. So to protect against this vector, we promote a secure software development lifecycle in basically any environment. People develop in Waterfall and Agile, and DevOps is becoming a thing today. So what we advocate is for supporting a software development, a secure software development lifecycle using automated tools like HPE Fortify that can scale to the size and skill set of their operation to find and eradicate those software vulnerabilities. The second area, in protect the data, the vast majority of published breaches are focused on stealing data and making use of it. The solution to this is really quite simple on its surface. Just basically scramble the data to make it worthless to the attacker. And you must encrypt it from end to end. For example, immediately when it is created, in transit, while it's being transmitted over networks and between networks and then into storage, and even when it's shared or used for things like analytics for advertising and marketing and health discoveries and so forth. People have a need to share information, but you don't want to do it unencrypted. There's no reason to decrypt sensitive data for day-to-day operations. We offer this capability in the HPE data security portfolio. And then finally, protecting the enterprise. On average, it takes more than 200 days to discover a breach in an organization. Every organization requires eyes and ears operating 24/7/365 to receive all security events across the enterprise, format the data into meaningful information, and understand when something bad is happening through advanced event correlation and analytics. As security operation centers are growing in their data ingestion, they're also being asked to keep pace and improve their time to attack detection while they're in operation. So this is the role of HPE Security ArcSight, which is a leader in the SIEM world for over a decade and a staple in basically every federal SOC today.
That's great. You know, Rob, this has been a wonderful podcast and really appreciate your insights today. Is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
I would just close by saying, you know, the world of cybersecurity is changing every day. And we saw that at the RSA conference. We had people saying, oh, gosh, there's just so much here and so many new technologies and innovations, but we continue to get attacked on a regular basis. The attackers are growing in sophistication. And guess what? They have their own RSA conference, basically. And their RSA conference is all about attack tools and increasing sophistication and innovation and best practices that they use on the attack side. And they're very good at that. They're very good at collaboration and so forth. So I think the defenders are investing while the attackers are investing, the defenders are investing in even more powerful defensive capabilities. In the coming weeks, you're going to see HPE releasing enhancements to our ArcSight portfolio that basically dramatically increases our ingest performance with an open modular architecture using an Apache Kafka-based intelligent event broker. I know this doesn't maybe mean much to some people, but the folks that need it will understand it implicitly, while simultaneously expanding our data analytics with HPE Vertica to provide near instantaneous search for Security Operations Center hunt teams. The combination of these new capabilities are going to enable current SOCs to do more with less and massively improve the time to detect and validate at scale.
Wow, that's excellent. And what a perfect way to end this podcast. And for all of our listeners, you just heard the very first Cyber Snapshot podcast interview with Rob Roy, the Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Federal Cybersecurity Team at HPE. And Rob was kind enough to share many of his insights regarding the latest cyber trends for the federal arena and much more. And Rob, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.